Translation. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendant of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasty, and thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Purpose. The associate of the Lord, who were playing the part of princely descendant of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasties, were not ordinary living entities. It is not possible that they could offend any saintly man or sage, nor could the sages, who were all pure devotees of the Lord, be influenced to anger by any of the sporting activities of the princes born in the holy dynasty of Yadu and Bhoja, wherein the Lord appeared as descendant. The cursing of the princes by the sages was another transcendental pastime of the Lord to make a show of anger. The princes were cursed in order that one may know that even the descendant of the Lord, who could never be vanquished by any act of material nature, were subjected to the reaction of anger by great devotees of the Lord. One should therefore take great care and attention not to commit an offense at the feet of a devotee of the Lord. Puriam kadachit kridat bir yadu bhoja kumarakain kopitamunayashepur bhogavan mattako vida. Once upon a time, great sages were made angry by the sporting activities of the princely descendant of the Yadu and Bhoja dynasty, and thus, as desired by the Lord, the sages cursed them. Om Jnana Timinandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we almost reached the end of the chapter. I think we have like 4 or 5 verses more of Vidura explaining, of Uddhava explaining to Vidura about the pastimes of Lord Krishna outside of Vrindavan. And now we see that we are approaching the end of the appearance of Lord Krishna in this earth. Actually, when Vidura was asking Uddhava about news from Krishna, he already knew that Krishna had left the planet, but he wanted to know more how that happened. So he asked Uddhava, please tell me about Krishna. And the devotees, they never like to speak about the disappearance of the Lord. This is a topic they don't like. So Uddhava just started to speak from the beginning. He did not go directly to what the question was of Vidura, but he started to explain all the pastimes of Krishna in Braj and in Dvarka, and now we are slowly coming to the point when Krishna is leaving the planet. And now we arrive in this point where the Yadus, the descendant of Krishna, who were like princes, who were like young people and liked to sport, liked to play, liked to make many funny stuff, if we can say like this, they were actually making the sages angry. And then, out of this anger, the sages cursed the princess. I guess in the next verse we will hear a little bit more about that curse. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explained that actually both the sages and the princes were actually direct associate of Krishna, and all this was orchestrated by the Lord. The Lord himself, the Lord himself wanted that to take place. The Lord himself wanted those young princes to play like this, and to the sage to curse them. It was actually everything into the desire of Krishna. So I was thinking a little bit on this verse yesterday, what to speak on this. And I was remembering some days ago a discussion I had with Manimanjari Mataji about, we were discussing about the temple situation and like this, and Manimanjari was saying something very true. She was saying, when we are in association with devotees, it's so easy to get blessings or to get curse. Both can happen actually very easily. Because we are actually all the time in association with devotees, and the devotees are powerful. Just by the practice of sadhana, they acquire even sometimes of mystic powers that obviously we don't want to use in the wrong way. We want to use for the service of Krishna. But devotees are powerful people. And when we are living in association with devotees, we can make very, very good progress in our life when we are able to get their blessings, but when we get their curse, then our spiritual life is actually not going so swiftly. And this also happened with non-devotees, with people everywhere. I remember once I was driving Guru Maharaj to the airport, and we were in those small roads, Morbach and Han and all those, this road, and suddenly I passed another car, and another car was coming in front, and it was a little short, and the other car made the light signal, and he was really angry. He was really making big sign in the car, and Guru Maharaj was saying, "Oh Gaurahari, you just got cursed by a materialist people." And all that, actually, those blessing and curse have some impact in our life. They just allow us to progress nicer, or they block our progress. And what to say when we are in devotee association? We can have actually much more progress or much more blockage in our devotional life. I was thinking also, some days ago I went to cook. I think it was going for fruit offering. And when I came there, I saw there was like a big pot and a pan and many stuff that were lying there unwashed and also quite burnt, quite a good hard things burned inside. And the first reaction was, oh, why the one who was cooking before did not wash it? And I started to curse. Naturally, the mind is little agitated. Immediately, you start to curse, and then I remember when things that happened when I was in Braj Mandal Parikram. I became a very good friend with one African devotee, Yadu something, I don't remember, and he was like my senior. He was more advanced, more old, and he was all the time teaching me and training me. And so we were sleeping in the same tent and doing almost everything together. And one day, you know, you move from one place to another, and in the morning you put all your bags, all your buckets and all your stuff. They put everything in a truck. You walk freely without anything, just a small bag. And then when you come at the place in the evening, the truck come and unload all your bags. So that day I came, and many of my stuff were missing. My bucket was missing, and this was missing. And I started to lament, and I started to curse. who did this? And I was angry. And Yadu, I'm not sure exactly, was telling me, you could serve Vaishnavas. There are only Vaishnavas in this Parikram, Vrajmandal Parikram. Someone needed a bucket, he took a bucket. You have done Vaishnava Seva. Why are you lamenting? And I was, okay, that's another perspective, that the perspective I had. And when I saw also those pots lying down in the kitchen, I remember this story, and I say, wait, don't curse. Don't obstruct the progress of another devotee with your bad thoughts, but use that as an opportunity to do service. Think, thank you, Krishna, I have opportunity to do a little Vaishnava Seva. And it's very, very much connected to our attitude, to which perspective we take the vision. So how important it is in association of devotees to be very, very careful, to be in a position so that we can collect blessings, get more and more and more blessings. Lila Shukha Prabhu was speaking elaborately on the point of controlling our senses. And then we had Istagosti, and Bhagavad Dharma was singing, and then he asked me to read a verse. So I read the verse, and there was something again on sense gratification, sense enjoyment. And the verse was saying that even great sages, they cannot control their senses. And then Bhagavad Dharma gave a very interesting comment. Bhagavad Dharma said, no one can control his senses. Only when we get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, then we get the power actually to control. And therefore, Bhagavad Dharma said, therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, we should collect, we should get a lot of blessings in our spiritual credit card, and that more and more we get blessings, and more actually we are able to go on very sweetly, very smoothly in the path of devotional service. So it's very, very, very important point. And we can also see, I think that was also Mani Manjari mentioning, whenever in our life we feel happy or whenever we feel disturbed, we can know that actually we are under the influences of curses or we are under the influence of blessings. Because when blessings are there, it's just no reason to be disturbed. Even if disturbances come, we just feel light, we just feel strong, we just don't care, we just go over them. So there is another point I would like to make. I don't know if it's a good point or relevant point. Anyway, that's what I thought to speak a little bit about, is that actually these pastimes, the Bhoja and the Yadu princes, were doing mischief and got cursed by the sadhus who became angry, but everything was a play of the Lord. Everything was arranged by the Lord. It was in the pastime. Now, how does that relate to us? Because very often we hear that everything is under the control of Krishna, and especially in the life of the devotees, in the life of those who are surrendering to Krishna. Can we see, okay, if I become angry, maybe it was Krishna's desire to teach another, or can we see in that way? Good question. We are on the borderline of speculation. And I mean, my thoughts on that we cannot think that we are so great that we can be instrument and we can act in a wrong way, like, let me make this devotee angry, like I'm the instrument of the Lord, or things like this. It's really not our philosophy. It's really not our position. But what is happening from the other people around us, then we can learn to see it as Krishna's instruments, and that it is orchestrated from Krishna. But we cannot take this position, okay, now I am the instrument and let me act in a way that doesn't fit. But the point is that we should actually learn to see whatever is happening in our surrounding, that it's actually orchestrated by Krishna, especially when we are devotees, when we are serving the Lord, we are all the time with the Lord, we can really have faith that whatever is happening around us is under the control of Krishna. And why sometimes Krishna is using devotees to give us anger, to become angry toward us, to give us heavy time, basically to purify us and to help us to become a servant. Because those difficulties, those moments we get heavy time, they are weapons against our ego. And our ego wants to be the master. So all the time we get those difficult times with in contact with association with devotee, or they're becoming angry at us, it's just a trick of Krishna. They are just instruments to bring us in the position, I'm actually just a servant. That's all I have to do. That's my position. I cannot claim to be anyone important or anyone great. So everything is connected to the perspective we take in those situations. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, even the prince who were actually Bhojas and Yadus, who were direct descendants of Krishna, they were so powerful, but still they were becoming under the influence of those curses. And then Srila Prabhupada mentioned at the end that actually one should be very, very careful, therefore, to not make any aparat, to not offend any Vaishnavas. During Janmashtami time, I did what I consider quite a serious offense to one devotee. That devotee was very exalted, a kirtan singer. And I was speaking with another devotee and I say, yeah, it seems he became a little bit puffed up now. And the other devotee said, no, he's not becoming puffed up. He's precise. He knows what he wants to do. And then immediately I felt, oh my God, I did a blunder. And then I felt, yeah, right, he's precise. No, nothing to do with puffed up and things like this. But it was too late. I had done it. It was out. The next morning I came here to chant in the temple room. And so many bad thoughts were coming in my mind. I was feeling so weak. I felt like really Krishna had left me. And I felt very, very sorry about that. And I thought I should ask forgiveness to that devotee. But I just felt too ashamed to go to him and say, Prabhu, I said you are puffed up. And you know, I was too ashamed to do that. So I had anyway to apologize for many other things to that devotee that did not go so well in the accommodation they had, in the prasad. There was really a good list of things that did not go. So I said, Prabhu, please forget our offenses. And in my mind I was thinking, especially the one I did. But still, I did not know, is that good enough? So I went to Madhavananda, who is actually well learned into all those etiquette and all those stuff, and I told him, I feel so sorry, I offended a Vaishnava, and not a Mr. Vaishnava, everybody, but one very exalted kirtan singer who is really spreading the glories of the holy name. I mean, that was a blunder. So I said, do you think it's okay if I just ask forgiveness in a general way like I did? He said, no, you have to do it properly. So the devotee was gone, I wrote him an email and I wrote him everything, what I said. And at the same time, I felt it was good that I did this aparad, in the sense that I immediately felt very humbled. And I immediately could change my perspective on that devotee. So I wrote to that devotee, and this devotee did not answer back. So I am still not sure the offenses is counteracted. But anyway, I did the best I could in that. And I noticed some days ago, again, I was speaking about another devotee who was giving lecture here in Goloka Dham, and somehow I was not inspired by his lecture and even struggling in his lecture. And so I just mentioned, oh, such difficult time for me to be in those lectures. And then later I again felt, why did you have to say that? Why did you not glorify that devotee? At least this devotee is trying like this. And he made actually this good point and that good point. And again I felt I'm not careful enough. I'm actually not getting the blessings in those moments. And I think especially for us here in living as a temple devotees, we are rarely fighting with each other or making really big apparat, but very often those apparat are able to come out of our mouth. I was discussing with one devotee and we were also speaking about that speaker. The devotee says something and that's the devotee went away like, oh, the devotee noticed, okay, now we are not in a safe ground. We are in a situation where we can get obstruction on our devotional path. So this verse is actually showing, although the Yadus were so strong, they were direct descendant, but they were affected strongly by those curses. Although everything was organized by the Lord to be in that way, and Prabhupada and the purpose on speaking of the importance of being careful with those offenses to Vaishnavas. Now I found this is the first book in which I took notes 10 years ago. And when I started to take notes in that book, I did not care about from where those notes were coming. So I have no reference, but some notes. And I found, I have classified, you know, every page as another topic. And I found a topic called Against Vaishnav Apparat. I thought, wow, let's look what is there. And I found a four step to avoid actually this problem of offending a Vaishnava. So the first one, cultivate the finding good nature. That's like a cultivation, like we cultivate a garden, we take care, we should take care of finding the good in others. Try to see the good in everyone, sincerely appreciate the value of others. This is a powerful antidote against fault finding. Point two. Before judging anyone, remember that every saint has a past, and every sinful person has a future. So even if we see a sadhu doing something wrong, we remember he has a past. He maybe still has some samskara or something that push him to act wrongly. And when we see a sinful person, we can think he has a future. He has a good future. Look at Jagai and Madai, how they were behaving and what was their future. So don't judge each. Judge so easily. Point three, try to see Krishna behind all happenings. I also felt when I was in this struggle into this lecture, sometimes I could just stand up and run away. It was so hard that I secretly opened my emails on the computer and started to read them to time. But then I felt so bad to do that. I stopped. But it was really like a deep struggle. And then I felt, but what is the problem? Isn't it the problem in your heart? Isn't the person is serving Krishna? Why are you disturbed? Where is the problem? Is the problem inside of you? So try, whenever we feel those disturbances coming, we should understand it's not directly the external circumstances that are the problem, but the problem is our way we deal with those external circumstances. And then the fourth point is very beautiful. Change your attitude. Turn the mind from bad to good. Actually, it's quite similar than the first point. What is the use to read Shastra and to chant Hare Krishna? What is the use to read Shastra and chant Hare Krishna if we maintain a vision? No, sorry. And chant Hare Krishna if one keeps an evil eye and a sharp tongue toward others. What is the use of all this chanting and reading if we keep this evil eye and these bad words toward others? Why do we maintain a vision of enemy and speak badly of others? The environment is always favorable. Whatever is around us is always favorable. Everyone and everything is moving us toward our goal to surrender to Krishna. Whatever is happening is there to push us to this position of surrendering to Krishna, taking full shelter only in Krishna and loving Him without reservations. Very beautiful. I think it must be a Sridhar Swami. The sounds like his style of writing. Very, very beautiful. This is another way to see the life, another way to see those challenging moments and to take them for our good fortune. Now, Hari Bhaktivilas give a quote. One should become very intolerant toward the blasphemy of Krishna and his devotees. Mahaprabhu's example, wanting to kill Jagai and Madai for their blasphemy to Nityananda. This is an example. How Mahaprabhu could not tolerate an offense was done to Nityananda. He just wanted to kill them immediately. That the devotee should be very intolerant to the blasphemy toward Vaishnava and Krishna. The Vaishnava may be very tolerant and meek for himself, forgiving everything for his person, but he will not tolerate the blasphemy against other Vaishnava or Krishna. So what should we do? What should we do if we are in this situation that we hear someone who is blaspheming a devotee? How should we react? 3 steps.
Mm-hmm. You want Shastric answer or?
Shastric answer.
Well, we should defeat that person.
Step 1, right. Step 2.
I think it's also mentioned to cut out the tongue of that person.
That's not what I have, but okay. But it's also good. Why not? Anyone? Yeah. Point two is if one is unable to oppose the one who is doing the blasphemy, one should give up his life. And point 3, if one is not able to do point 1 and point 2, then he should leave the place.
Uh-huh.
So usually we don't speak so much about the point 2 because it's really out of, but that really show how much we should consider those blasphemy as very detrimental. In Nectar of Devotion also there is a quote saying that attachment for Krishna can be invoked through the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Again, this blessings aspect. But this mercy will be blocked by offenses. If someone offends a devotee, whatever attachment he has achieved will wane and disappear. Srila, now, I'm sorry, it's maybe a little heavy. Now we are in the heart of offenses. So maybe a little.
Yeah.
I have a last quote from Narottam Das Thakur in one of his songs. He said, the song is Vaishnav Vigyapati. The holy name of the Lord delivers one who has committed an offense to Lord Hari. But if one commits an offense to you, O Vaishnava Thakur, there is no means of deliverance. So I would like to end by a very interesting story that happened in the Ramayana. Ramachandra was very, very much wanting everyone to be happy in his kingdom. Everyone. So he put it at the front of his kingdom a bell, and that was the complaint bell. Whoever will have any disturbance or any complaint will need to go there and ring the bell, and Ramachandra will come and immediately take care of the case of that person. So one day the bell rang, and Lord Ramachandra came to the window of his palace to see what was happening, but no one was there. So he went inside, and again, bing! He went back to the window, and look, no one was there. And then he looked more carefully, and he saw a dog was there. He said, what? Is it a dog who is ringing, who has a complaint? So Ramachandra came down and see the dog. And like in all Vedic stories, the animals also speak. And in the spiritual world, everything is possible. So the dog started to complain to Lord Ramachandra and said, I was badly beaten by a Brahmana. That's my complaint. So Ramachandra said, Who is this Brahmana? Who Brahmana beat this dog? I want to see this Brahmana. So the Brahmana was found and brought to Lord Ramachandra. And Lord Ramachandra said, why did you do that? And the Brahmana said, this dog, he is just impossible. Whenever we are eating, he is just staring on our food. That's not good. And when we chant mantra, he is barking all the time. And even the worst, he is passing urine on Tulsi plant. I could not tolerate that. I had to beat him. So the dog answered. The dog said, if I don't beg for food and shelter by staring and barking, how can I survive? And because I have very big respect for Mother Earth, I don't want to pass urine directly on Earth. I do it against tree. I did not know about the different type of trees. This is my excuse. So Lord Ramachandra took the side of the dog. And he said, now you dog, tell a punishment you want for the Brahmana. Because you were offended, you can order a punishment to this Brahmana. So the dog thought very deeply. And he said, yeah, I want this Brahmana to become the owner of the Madhav Ashram. Ramachandra said, what? You want the dog to be, the Brahmana to become the owner of an ashram? It's not a punishment. And then the dog started to speak. And he said, in my previous life, I was the owner of that same ashram. And many sadhus were coming in this ashram. And sometimes I offended some of them because I was not careful enough. Sometimes I was angry at some of them and offended them. And because of that, I took this form of a dog. So I want this Brahmana to go and become the owner of this ashram, knowing very well what happened to me, so that he will learn to actually be very, very careful to not follow my foot, my palm step and become a dog, but will be able to avoid offenses toward other Vaishnavas. So I found this story very, very nice, and always bring us to this point that in association with devotees we should be careful, because our speed, it's both sides. In one sense, we can go so fast and progress so easily when we get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, and at the same time we can stagnate when they are cursing us. One devotee was telling me, just encourage devotees. Whatever they like to do, yes, just do it. Don't say, no, you don't do this, you should do that. Or whatever enthusiasm is there, whatever devotee wants to do, just encourage. And that's good for them, and that's good for you. But if you are too much trying to control and do your own plan, and the devotees are not satisfied, then you don't get blessings. And then your spiritual life is hard, is difficult. I had once this very deep realization when I was in Govinda Kund. I was for one full month of Kartik chanting there, and I mean, maybe I told you already the story a few times, but there was a well and I would pick water from this well, and the wheel of the well was very rotten, and whenever I will go, it is hard and hard, and at the end I will not even use this wheel, I will just pull out the water like this. And one day Baba, Dinabandhu Baba, came and put it some oil on the wheel. And Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. And then when I will go and pick up the water, it was going so easily. And I was wondering, what is the oil of my devotional service? What will make my spiritual life go as fast? Now my spiritual life is like this wheel which was broken and rotten. But what will make my devotional life to go so swiftly? And I was thinking like this for days while chanting. I was just thinking. And then one day I understood, when I get the blessings of the Vaishnavas, when I get blessings of Krishna, Guru, Vaishnavas, then my life will, then that will be the oil that make my life, become my spiritual life, go very smooth, very, and I will be happy, I will be satisfied in my heart. I also think that in our community in Goloka Dham, it's something we should all learn to do, to learn first of all to appreciate the quality of others, and then to help them develop those qualities, to empower them to use their good quality in the service for Krishna. I spoke yesterday with Lila Shukha Prabhu, and he told me about this preaching happenings in England. And there is one devotee, they have a congregation with 300 families or something like this in one town, like really big things. And Pradyumna Prabhu is organizing all of that. And he said the success of all of that is that Pradyumna Prabhu know the art of empowering, making empower those who are around him, and allowing them to develop and express their abilities. And I know as often it's the role of the authorities to do that, of maybe a temple president or vice president, but I don't know how qualified I am for that. Therefore, I'm bringing it like this on the carpet, that it's actually very nice if we all learn this art of first appreciating the good points, good qualities of others, and then seeing how we can help others to fulfill them, to express them, to put them into the service with Krishna. And then everyone is just so happy. Everyone is, and then blessings are just falling like monsoon around us and on our heads, and everything will become much more easy, and we might be able to go into another phase of Goloka Dham and bring it higher and higher and more happier and more happier, so that one day we will have hundreds of devotees here for the pleasure of Radha Madan Mohan. So that's that's a little bit my. We should not really look for numbers. It's not Krishna consciousness had nothing to do with numbers. But still, I'm sure it's pleasing to the deities when we have more devotees who are there to glorify them and serve them. So I stop here. If you have any questions, any comments.
On this point of blessings, I also had a small realization during Jamasvami festival. Afterwards, some devotees, they came to me and they said, "Oh, thank you so much for your service here during the festival." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, thank you." And one devotee told me, "Yeah, I saw at the beginning you were." I thought, "Oh, it's tough for him. He's struggling." But then, at the second day, I saw you really like to do this. And at this point, I realized, well, in the association of devotees, devotees watch you, what you are doing and how you are doing it. And I felt a little bit humbled to be more careful how to act. And there are, especially if there are many devotees around, because they see you. And I was also appreciating very much that point of Vinasukha Prabhu to first they have to follow that first verse and make that instruction to tolerate these urges, to not identify too strongly with them, with the body, mind, controlled senses, in order that we can act properly, because if we are too disturbed, then we are not so pleasing to the devotee.
Thank you. Yeah. I have got sister. She's writing me once a month. Sometimes not, but sometimes more. And she always write me and she send me a little inspiration, something she read that she find nice. And then she always write at the end, please do not forget to pray for me. And that's a devotee who got the point, that actually the prayers of the devotees are what will help me to go on in my spiritual life. And also the devotees might have seen you struggling and they might also have prayed for you. They might also say, oh, poor Mikhail, look at him, he is really struggling. Please, Krishna, please help them, help him. And then you got enlivened. I see also sometimes when I do the puja for the deities, it's very good to pray for others. Please reveal to the devotees who are singing now. Please appear to them. Please manifest so that we get access to you. It's very, very nice when we can have this good orientation in our heart and pray for the benefits of others. Yeah, we should be looking for them, for those blessings. We should be, at this point also, really trying to make our way we act, our way we deal in such a favorable way that everyone will just have a melting heart and will just blessing, 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 and then we can very happily swim. Any other comments or questions? Mani Manjari?
Yeah, I think it's really a thing of time. We all become like this, but this means Vaishnava, because Vaishnavas are humble and they are like warm-hearted and well-wishing to everyone. But this is our goal. Another way, we should somehow try to follow good examples and pray and also learning like this on the lectures, experiencing and exchanging. But I think what is actually our problem, this is that we really are not humble, that we really think that we are better than someone else. This is the point. When you see that someone is doing something wrong, or that means you're not doing better. I'm not good. I'm not good. No, this is actually the pride. And we correct very someone is, I know better, I'm your teacher, you don't know how to do it. I'm better than you, that's the message, you know. And this is not working, then this person will be agitated and send us some curse. But if we really are humble, we don't think I'm better, this is like very high level. This is the highest. This is what we should try for. But I'm not better than we are, our spirit souls. In this material world, we are all in this ocean and we just need to work together to go out. No one is better or less better. Even on the Vaishnava level, on transcendent, no one thinks you are better or less. There is no way that someone thinks that he is better than other. There is just the diversity and everyone is there to please Krishna. In this diversity, it's so nice to cooperate and everyone can do something which you cannot do. And to look at things like this, we are like so different people. And Krishna likes us all, and we can all in different ways please Krishna and others. And he likes us to cooperate to do together for the pleasure, but for his pleasure and our pleasure. And this is what I was yesterday actually reading in this
When good fortune arises.
Yes, and there was some introduction. I think Madhavat Maharaj, he wrote some comment on the book, you know, at the beginning. And then he said that when Gokulina Maharaj appeared, then he was misunderstood by many of his godbrothers because he was so different. Because he came from a Vaishnava background, he was Vaishnava from birth. And those other, I mean, he didn't write this, but I can imagine. And those other devotees, they came from the West, you know, completely different. They were born like matches in the Avanas and now struggling to become. And somehow or other, they were different, and they couldn't understand him and affect him, and they made offense. Because they were this one. Because, you know, if someone is different than you, that doesn't mean that he should be like you are and think like you and work like you. No, he will never do like this because he's him. And if and then he said, but this diversity, unity, that I think Guru Maharaj is also giving so much lectures on this item, unity in diversity, this is what Krishna likes. It says sometimes, like many different flowers in one way, it's such a nice bouquet. It's the pleasure of the Lord. So like this, everyone is different, and we should not try to make others think and do and act like people. Because then, if they try, it will be artificial. But we should try to tolerate and see that others are different, that they are also loved by Krishna, that they are doing service in different ways, but this is also pleasant, that what Krishna likes them also, he likes us, and we are not better than them, we are just different. And if we somehow can appreciate the others' endeavor and try to encourage them, do it like you do. And I am also trying my best, you try your best, let us help each other, encourage each other. And then, for the pleasure of the Lord, cooperate like a big family and somehow not offend each other, not to try to correct others to do what you would like. And this actually needs humbleness and somehow not thinking, oh, I know better, my way is better than his, and he, you know, he's doing wrong. Which is actually false ego. This is what Krishna wants to. And then it's working, at least if we try artificially to. But it's also not so, it's easy actually to see. If you try to look others, I was trying like this, when I see something, this person, let me see what is good in this person, how he's doing nice. And then I was thinking of all these Gurukadamis and the temple devotees. How everyone has some very nice qualities and he's doing something very nice with, which I can never do. And it's according to Shastra and instruction. I cannot do. I cannot think so nice, I cannot do some arrangements so nice, I cannot somehow, you know. So many things which, so nice sadhana, I have such a good sense. No, so many things which devotees can do, I cannot do. But then maybe I can do also something nicely. And then let me somehow do whatever I can and appreciate what they. And then I have something to improve, they also have something to improve. But let us help each other to do things nicely and whatever is for you. Anyway, Krishna will take care. And this we can, if we are friends with devotees, and we somehow give a good example, then they will find out, oh, really, I can do also better some things. Or even if we are good friends with them, then we can nicely, in a nice way, tell them, oh, maybe you can do it also better like this, but not in offensive way. But I think the difference between offense and correction is in our attitude, in our good, in our love for the person. Person can see that we love him and really affectionately want to help him, and in this way we tell him something, then he will very easily correct and he will not be offended. But if we say it in a way, I am better, I will tell you what to do.
I'm in charge.
So not why, because it's not because of your love for this person that you are loving him, but you think, no. And this is the art. This is what we should learn from Srila Prabhupada. And the Vaishnavas who are on this level. And this is our work in this lifetime. It's not going over now. But somehow or other, if you try and pray, then you come.
Thank you.
So this is my experience.
There is sometimes also this analogy, like the fingers of the hand. If all the fingers would say, "I want to be the thumb, I want to be the thumb," then you cannot do much with the hand. Like everyone has his position, and also in the eyes of Krishna, he don't see exactly the external circumstance like we see, but he see those moments of bhakti, you see those moments we want to please him. That's actually the real substance. He's not. I remember once a devotee told me, that my Shiksha Guru was telling me, even Krishna do not judge anyone. So who are we to put judgment on everyone? Thank you. It's very, very nice comment. Also this encouraging nature. And I don't know if anyone else like to add something. So it was nice to hear about those topics. And yeah, let's try to collect as much blessing we can and avoid as much curse as possible. And Narantarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Today Bhakta Mikhail will go like a very good soldier into book distribution, and it's not an easy service, and if we can all give some of our blessings for his day, that will be very good.
We need someone who is going out for the first line.
Yeah.